Coming up in this episode of the Creepy Kingdom Cinema Crypt, we continue our year-long celebration of Tim Burton by taking a look at his film Corpse Bride. Hello and welcome to the Creepy Kingdom Cinema Crypt. Creepy Kingdom's podcast all about the spookiness of cinema. I am your host, Mr. James H. Carter II. And that's right, if you've tuned in before and you were thinking that's not the name of this show, it was called something else, right? You're right, you're not going crazy. We start off the show called the Creepy Kingdom Movie Crypt. And little did I know that there is a long-running podcast called Movie Crypt. So we're only 6 episodes into this show, so hey, we're going to change it. It is the Creepy Kingdom Cinema Crypt, our podcast where we focus on the creepy and spooky films that we all know and love, and a few that we don't. Coming up in this episode, we continue our celebration of the work of Tim Burton with our Year of Burton celebration. Just said celebration twice because we're just celebrating nonstop. That's all we're doing here. February's film that we celebrated on our social media was Corpse Bride. And we have that episode for you today. I know it's not February anymore, but we're still celebrating Tim Burton. Currently, for March, we are celebrating the upcoming release of Dumbo, which we will have another Cinema Crypt episode the week of that film's release. In other exciting Year Burton news, I'm very excited to announce for the first time on the show, if you've been following us on social media, you might have seen it already, but I'm just going to tell it to you again. And if you haven't heard it yet, I'm just going to say it to you now, is that starting in April, we are going to be putting on monthly screenings for our Year Burton celebration in Southern California. Very excited about this. We're starting off April 6th with Mars Attacks. And these screenings will be happening at the Sugar Mint Gallery in South Pasadena, California. It's an awesome art gallery. We're actually putting on a few other events there as well as screenings. A lot of awesome stuff coming there. And one of the coolest things about this gallery is that it is located right behind the original Michael Myers house from the original Halloween film. So we can all get together, enjoy the films of Tim Burton, just feet away from Michael Myers house. So if you live in Southern California, we definitely would love for you guys to come out. If you're visiting Southern California or planning to at some point this year, we will be doing these once a month. As of right now, only a few screenings have been announced. But let me just run through the dates that we have available right now. Of course, we got Mars Attacks on April 6th. Then May 4th, we're doing Batman Returns. June 1st, Alice in Wonderland. July 13th, Sweeney Todd. August 16th, Frankenweenie. And September 14th, Sleepy Hollow. All those are available right now to reserve your spot. The screenings themselves are at no cost, but there is admission to enter the gallery after hours. You can reserve that admission by going to sugarmint.com. That's sugarmint with a Y instead of an I, .com. And one more announcement before we get started with this episode. You may have seen it in your podcast feed, but just in case you didn't, you want to go back and check that out. Released it a few days ago. It was a preview of a brand new podcast that we just launched on our Patreon. It's a Patreon exclusive show. It's uncensored. It's called Live from the Dungeon. And we talk about things that we could never talk about in any regular Creepy Kingdom podcast. And we start off with a bang. an episode all about people that have been banned from theme parks. You can access the show for at the $1 level at Patreon. And, of course, still there waiting for you if you haven't checked it out yet. You have a little bit more time to do so. But Foolish Mortals, our documentary about Haunted Mansion fans, is available right now online exclusively in our Patreon. I don't know how much longer that's going to be there, but that's available at the $5 level. And every month we'll be uploading tons of bonus footage for the over 50 hours we shot for Foolish Mortals. Last month we released the full interview of Rolly Crump. We have another one coming this month. So tons of fun stuff. More awesome. Well, I think it's awesome. Man, hopefully you'll think it's awesome too. But tons of great fun stuff waiting for you there at patreon.com/creepykingdom. Okay. All right. It's time to start the show. Let's open the crypt. Hello. Hi. Hello and hi. I am here with Roxy Tart.
Hi.
And Sir Florida Man Grant.
Hello.
If it's someone's first time listening, they're like, wow, that Grant guy sounds like...
regal.
Very regal.
Very Sir regal. Florida Man.
Sir Florida Man, yes.
All right, and we are joined here today in holy matrimony to discuss the film Corpse Bride. It is part of our year-long celebration of Tim Burton. February's film was Corpse Bride. Now this podcast is being recorded and will be released in March. But that's just semantics.
Because that's how we roll.
But towards the end of this month of March, you can look forward to this month's film, Dumbo, which will be released theatrically as well. We got Corpse Bride here. January did Edward Scissorhands, and we had a good time with that. So we're gonna keep the party going all year long. And here we go. Corpse Bride.
Corpse Bride.
Corpse Bride.
Now, as before we started recording, we had just admitted to each other that we had not seen the film since its release until a few days ago or hours ago, as it were. So, not a lot of repeat viewings over the years. In fact, nope. only one.
I honestly forgot about this movie. Until like James told me, hey, we're doing this. I was like, oh yeah, that happened.
I admit it. I was like, have I seen this movie? I didn't remember this. Oh yeah, okay, I saw this movie. I had to like think about it.
I watched it, but I didn't remember it. Like, I remembered aspects, but it didn't like stick out with me. The movie never stayed with me.
I remembered that I saw it very much, so I didn't forget that. But, I believe this is 2005? Yeah, 2005
yeah.
Film. It was very successful. It was highly anticipated, being the second Tim Burton stop-motion film behind Nightmare Before Christmas, almost 20 years, over 20 years since Nightmare Before Christmas.
Wow! Really?
No. 10 years, James.
No
it
way.
It came out in like 2004.
And Corpse Bride was 2005. I thought Nightmare Before Christmas came out in the 90s.
Yeah, Nightmare Before Christmas did not come out in 1985.
No, but you're right. You're my bad. I've never said I could add. That's not what you guys tune in for. It was about 10 years.
James is a video guy, not a mathematician.
And I'm not a mathematician. I'm not a magician. But whatever. 10 years. Follow up. What was interesting leading up to that point is that when Nightmare Before Christmas first came out, it wasn't really like a big hit. It wasn't as beloved as it's become. It was pretty much like just goth spooky kids liked it right away, I guess. I don't know. Because I loved it right away. But
well, you were a goth spooky kid.
Yep. Now I'm a goth spooky
what do you mean,
man.
Were?
I said now I'm a man.
Now you're a goth spooky
goth
man.
Spooky man.
But anyways,
great. We got Florida man and spooky man.
That's not my name. anyways, so it was. When we get Tonight Before Christmas, which is at the end of the year, we kind of explore this a little more. But it was just kind of interesting to see, like it get a cult following over the years. Like, and you know, and by the time Corpse Bride had come out, it had this like full resurgence. It's probably the beginning of its like real big popularity. That's when. You know, at that point, you could go into, like, you know, Hot Topics or Spencer's Gifts, and it was just jam-packed with Nightmare Before Christmas merchandise, you know, 10 years after the film came out.
Without Jack Skellington, there would be no Hot Topic.
So now, I have a question.
Possibly. Yes.
Was it Corpse Bride that brought back the interest in Nightmare Before Christmas, or... was there an interest in Nightmare Before Christmas, and that is why they made Corpse Bride?
I don't know why they made Corpse Bride, but Nightmare Before Christmas came back before the interest came back before Corpse Bride.
Right.
Okay. Came out.
Yes, I remember in 2001. That's when they started doing Haunted Mansion Holiday.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because I remember I had just graduated high school, and I remember going to it and driving there in Disneyland when I lived in California that year. I have a very fond memory of that. So. Anywho.
Yeah, so...
yeah, it's hard. It's hard because we're not doing... I almost feel like we should have done Nightmare Before Christmas first because you have to kind of talk about that a lot in order to talk about the Corpse Bride.
Well, the thing...
but that actually makes a lot of sense now. Like...
Well, my thought here, too. There's so much to talk about with Nightmare Before Christmas that I don't even think we're going to even get one episode out of it. I feel like it's going to be multiple episodes.
Yeah.
You know, and so, and that's, and we're going to do it at the end of the year, you know, and it's Christmas because it's a Christmas movie. So, but I think I'm sure if anyone's listening to this, I'm sure they've seen Nightmare Before Christmas. I don't think we have to worry about it. And obviously, it's the point of reference for Corpse Bride. And,
right.
And as you go into Corpse Bride, you know, this is what, like, there's a lot of, there was pretty much, but my point in me bringing this up is saying Corpse Bride had pretty high expectations, I think, being the follow-up to Nightmare Before Christmas. But what's...
This is practically a sequel to Nightmare Before Christmas in some ways, or like a, it's almost like a bizarro remake in some ways.
There's a lot of similarities.
I'm just going to say it. Okay. I'm going to be the one to say it. They noticed the nightmare had a resurgence. They wanted people's money and they hella quick made Corpse Bride because, hey, the goth kids will buy this.
Thank you. Now,
I don't think that's 100% true. There's
it doesn't need a plot. It doesn't need to be a long movie. It doesn't need to make sense.
Well, Nightmare. Well, it does make sense. And Nightmare Before Christmas is not a very long movie either. In fact, I think they have very similar run times. Now, what there is truth to what you said there, because I do know for a fact about the making it really quick, is that Tim Burton, for some reason, likes to make stop motion films when he's busy making other movies. Because Nightmare Before Christmas was made while he was making Batman Returns. And Corpse Bride was made while he was making Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
And note that both of those movies had actors that were in both these movies. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory had Johnny Depp, as did the Corpse Bride, and Batman Returns also had Paul Rubens, a.k.a. Pee Wee Herman, in it. And he was also in Nightmare Before Christmas playing one of the three kids, Log, Shock, or Barrel. I forget which one he was.
Yeah, I think
it was Shock.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Shock. But,
So I know, like, Joss Whedon, when he's like doing a show or movies and stuff like that, they used to do Shakespeare readings at his house. And like literally the cast on their days off would like go over to Joss's house, hang out in the backyard, have a barbecue, you know, mm-hmm. and do like a Shakespeare reading and like act up for fun. It almost seems like it kind of the same thing. Like Tim Burton's like, you know what? While we're doing this.
Right. But I'd imagine making these stop motion films are so like hard. It's like, why would you want to do that while making another movie? Like, well, and all that being said, Tim Burton was not that involved in Nightmare Before Christmas. He did not direct it. You know, he came up with the story and the characters. You know, it's Henry Schleck is the director. The person never gets the credit. The person who brought us Coraline years later.
Yeah, and that's one thing that I wanted to talk about that surprised me was I didn't realize that this was a Leica film until...
What is Leica film? Quartz Sprite?
No, Quartz Sprite is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Oh, no, it says... Oh, yeah, you're right. In the beginning, it said Warner Brothers / Leica, but it's not officially released through Leica. Apparently...
It's not, but this was clearly a practice, like a, hey, we can do this.
Yeah, because this is before Coraline, so this was...
It has Leica all over. Like, the name was on there. So that was the first thing that kind of stuck out, like, oh, wow, this is a grandfather of all these films.
Yeah, so and my point being is I don't know for a fact, but Tim Burton probably wasn't super involved in Corpse Bride either.
His name was on for directing, though, but, like, it was co-directing.
But Corpse Bride is called Tim Burton's Corpse Bride.
Just like Nightmare Before Christmas is called Tim Burton's Nightmare Before Christmas.
True, very true. Interesting. One of these days, we're going to have to get Mr. Burton on here to answer all these questions.
Yeah,
for
I'm
us.
Thinking by the time we get to the December show, you'll
right.
He'll be ready.
Yeah, I have a feeling if he's listening, he'll be ready by the December show to come on and be like, "Look, I'm going to address every single thing you people said."
Because we
and tell you where you were wrong.
We went pretty hard on Edward Scissorhands dissecting.
We did.
You were pretty hard on Pee Wee's Big Adventure as well.
Well, we didn't do that one.
No, we're not. That's my favorite Tim Burton movie, and we're not doing it. But it's okay.
It's not really that creepy. It's not creepy. It's a fun movie, but it's not Tim Burton-y.
just Large March. Just watch that one part, and that's all you need for Tim Burton.
That was the only hint of things to come from Tim Burton was the Large Marge scene.
Do you feel like he looked at them and he was like, I'm going to put this in here, whether you guys like it or not, because this is what I want to make.
Probably.
Yeah.
Quite the rebel. Well, let's get into it there. We're going to go through the plot here. And we're gonna share our thoughts about as we go through each one of these little the journey of Corpse Bride, I guess.
Okay. Well, the plot. In a village in Victorian England, Victor Van Dort, the son of nouveau riche fish merchants, and Victoria Everglot, the neglected daughter of snobbish yet impoverished aristocrats. Y'all.
It's like a tongue twister.
Are preparing for their arranged marriage, okay? Which will simultaneously raise the social status of Victor's parents and restore the wealth of Victoria's penniless family. So, in case you couldn't figure out what the hell I was trying to say, because I tripped over every word there. Victoria has a title, Victor has money, so their parents decided to get them together because Victor's family wants a title and Victoria's family is broke.
And who says romance is dead?
Well, clearly, you know, this is the time of arranged marriages.
Yep. So both of them have concerns about marrying someone they don't know, but upon meeting for the first time, they fall for each other. After the shy Victor ruins the wedding rehearsal by forgetting his vows, he flees and practices his wedding vows in a nearby forest, placing the wedding ring on a nearby upturned tree root. The root turns out to be the finger of a murdered woman in a tattered bridal gown named Emily, who rises from the grave, claiming that she is now Victor's wife. After fainting, Victor wakes up and finds himself spirited away to the land of the dead. The bewildered Victor learns the story of how Emily was murdered years ago by an unknown perpetrator on the night of her secret elopement.
All right. Well, the first thing I want to say up to this point of the movie is that I think this movie looks beautiful, and I love the cinematography and the way how they have the camera movements with the stop motion animation really makes it seem like gives it life more than most stop motion up until this point. Clearly, every Leica thing after this is far superior in production quality.
But we have to judge it as a product of its time.
Yeah. I mean, as product of its time, I was really impressed with it, and I liked when she's telling the story of how she died. Well, first of all, I would say I like this film really more than. I mean, I don't know. We'll see as we go on. But this film really makes really light of death for a children's film.
Mm-hmm.
In a way that is confusing to me. I guess the only really comparison that kept popping in my mind was Coco.
Yeah.
Which did not make light of death. You know, but it was a similar type of experience. They had to go to the land of the dead and... all that kind of thing. And they really, you know, it was a weird, you know, it was weird for what is, I guess, let's get this out of the way. Is this movie meant for kids?
It's about dead people, so you would automatically think no. It's super gothy, so you would automatically think no. But the story is so simplistic that, like, it's kids' movie, you know? It's very much a fairy tale, like the other, you know, fairy tale. It's just dark.
It's, and I wanted to mention, it's kind of interesting the choice that was made of having all the scenes and like with the living be pretty much black and white, and whenever you get to the area where everybody's dead, it's bright colors. It's kind of like,
yeah, I didn't realize that. You're right.
yeah. Think about that. Like, you know, like it's kind of like on how the dead are more alive than the living.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly, because they're all like swinging, beatniks, having a swinging party down there.
the living in this movie are jerks.
You may cut this out. I don't know. But there's some levels of almost like potential necrophilia with this. I don't know if that word is allowed, but no, more meaning that the theme of like he's very much into at some points he is fighting for. He's kind of confused if he wants to be with the corpse bride, and there is a level of attraction there. It's kind of an interesting choice for a kids movie.
Yeah, I will say that thought never crossed my mind, but
he does kind of fall for a dead girl.
He does, and
but does he though? Like, does he fall for a dead girl? Because
he's a freaking jerk the whole time.
Yeah,
he's going back and forth between the two girls.
Even like, when he agrees to marry, he's like, yeah, I'll do this for you because. The other girl I was supposed to marry that I don't know at all married some other guy, so I heard. So, like, yeah, all right, I'll do this for you. Sure, babe.
Right,
whatever.
Yeah. He seems easily swayed. I'm just going to put this out there. As you know, we're all just putting things on the table here, just being honest. The Emily, the corpse bride, is pretty much a super babe, like, straight up. Like... Like I think Emily's hot. I mean, am I alone on this?
Oh, you mean Sally 2.0?
Yes, Sally 2.0.
And we also have, you know, Zero 2.0 with the skeleton dog.
This
was a sequel to Nightmare Before Christmas without being a sequel to Nightmare Before Christmas.
I actually wouldn't say that Emily is Sally 2.0. I would say that Victoria is Sally 2.0, because at least Emily's got like some personality and like, you know, everything.
Okay.
Why are you saying Sally doesn't have personality?
The skin and the choices are kind of like the look of them is kind of similar.
The look.
Yeah. I'll tell you what though. Okay. Emily is awfully scantily clad for Victorian England with that dress cut up to her thigh and her boobs hanging out. Like,
well, I think that happened in part in the scuffle. You know, she was. I guess. Well, the spoiler alert. Well, we know that she died. We find out how she dies later in the movie.
Spoiler alert.
But, spoiler alert, Emily's dead. She's a corpse.
Spoiler alert, the corpse, she's a dead girl.
Anyways, I think she's a babe, so I can.
What does that say about James?
What does that say about me? Well, she's voiced by Helena Bonham Carter.
Who is, like, the second love of your life after your girlfriend.
Well, it was just particularly Bellatrix Lestrange is, so... Because Helena Bonham Carter has this thing where she can look like Bellatrix Lestrange, or like she's going jogging.
What is it about Tim Burton that he like sees Johnny Depp and he's like, you know what? I really want my wife to play his love interest over and over, and I want to direct him. I want them to kiss each other, and I want to watch my friend and my wife. That's always been weird to me.
He's a voyeur, obviously.
Well,
are they still together?
No, not only did they break up, they were never married. So throw that in there in your mix of things to ponder.
But you know what though? Some people like to watch. Okay, it's a fetish or a kink or whatever you want to call it. And if that's his thing, like, you go.
I mean, you could save like millions of dollars and just invite them over and drink some wine and take out his iPhone.
and then record random things and turn it into a stop motion feature later on.
Yeah. There we go. All right, let's continue on with the plot.
All right. So there's all that. Oh no. No, we gotta go back. Because so first of all, this whole movie gave me Elsa feels. Because the whole time all I could think was, you can't marry a person you just met. Like, you're not in love. You're not in love with this person. You don't know this person. So, like, Victor, you're not in love with Victoria. Victoria, you're not in love with Victor. Emily, you're not in love with Victor. Like, you people don't know each other.
Right, but this is like a classic, like, Disney trope that's in, like, all the earlier films. It's like the premise of all of them.
I hate it. I hated it then. I don't like it now.
You hated it then? When you were a kid, you were like... watching Cinderella, you're like, you hated that they didn't know each other?
Yeah.
Roxy would have been like 2 when this came out, though, with the Corpse Bride.
Oh, you're so cute.
Thanks.
I like him.
So how old are you now then, if you were 2?
We're keeping Florida Man. I like him.
Like, she's 17.
17.
No, I honestly though I have never liked that. I'm also not a romantic in any way, shape, or form. My husband will very much tell you that. My ex-husband will tell you that. I am not a romantic. It is not my thing. And the whole like love at first sight, like I just met you and I love you, like all of that, I think is just the most ridiculous. Like, no.
Well,
no.
Well, that's it. So you took that into this film. Where, you know, and I think that probably clouded your view of the rest of the film. Where for me, it's like, did I really want to spend more time with them falling in love? And I want to get to the point. You know, do we need like a montage or something? Like,
maybe.
No, I wanted more time just spent like in the underground dead area. That was fun.
Oh yeah. Also, if I had to pick up time, yeah, for sure. But I'm asking Roxy if that's what she needed to buy. This is the way I thought about it.
Like a courting montage, maybe. Yeah, like something.
I just kind of thought like their lives were just like they're about to do arranged marriage to begin with.
Yeah.
So right out the gate, it's like it seems that they don't really have any say over their lives whatsoever. So he seems like Victor seems like he was sheltered, and that he's never even probably been around another woman before.
And we won't even talk about how awful their parents are on both sides.
Yeah, no, it's a little clear. They're awful human beings. I mean,
oh my God.
And so I just kind of took it as it's the first woman he saw. It's probably the first man that Victoria saw. And they're like, you know, whether they actually are in love or not, you know, that's questionable. But I think that they're down to, like, you know, get away from their families together.
See, and that I'm okay with. Like, in the very beginning, it's an arranged marriage. They have terrible families. They want to get away from their families. Like, that makes sense to me. But, I mean, if that's what we're going with, then fast forward to where she's like, oh my God, Victor is married to a corpse. We have to go save him. Girl, you don't know him. Yeah. He just walked into your room with a dead girl. You don't know him. You know, and then your parents are like, hey, guess what? You're going to get married anyways to this guy who did not walk into your room with a dead girl. And she's like, no, I can't do that. I don't want to marry a stranger.
You're going to marry a stranger, though.
Yeah. Yeah, and that stranger, again, I'm just going to say, brought a corpse into your bedroom.
This like, is exactly well, the corpse, the kind of the corpse guy followed that you her. To keep.
Followed him, to be clear.
But still, like, at that point, she'd be like, you know what? Maybe you're not the guy for me.
No, he was just bringing her back a cold one.
Oh, my God. Which,
actually, this is a perfect time to bring it up since Grant delivered one. This film was just jam-packed with so many great puns. I couldn't get enough of them.
I'm sorry. I've been a little stiff tonight.
There we go.
Get warmed up.
I feel like Grant's starting to warm up.
Get warm up.
Of course I am. I've been dying to do this.
Well, I actually wrote down some of my favorite puns from the film.
Ooh, let's hear them.
When they're down in the dead world, they're saying, what was the context? I try to remember the context. They were saying that, it's like, why would you go up there when people are dying to get down here? Mm-hmm. Or he's like, why would you say that? Have you lost your mind? One of the skeletons? He doesn't have a brain in there. or he ran, Victor ran away in the snow. Oh, they saw his footprints in the snow. It looks like he got cold feet and ran away. I mean, the I don't know who they hired to write the puns for this movie, but they, I'd say there's probably a pun every 3 to 5 minutes of the entire film.
Pun per minute.
I've been waiting to get my check, my residual check.
It was you? Yeah.
That's so mean of them, Grant, to do you like that.
Right.
All right. Are we ready to continue with the plot, or do you have more to say?
Oh, still the beginning by the way, another thing I forgot about with this movie. I was like, this is a musical? And like in spots, like it's a musical in some spots. I completely forgot that there were even songs in this movie.
Yeah, I didn't remember there were songs either. But if we're going to talk about the songs, I actually made a note of that as well, because there's a song in the, what is the dead world called? Like, I keep calling it the underground.
Downstairs?
Downstairs. I don't know.
Well, they call the living world upstairs, so.
The right. Necropolis, maybe? I don't know.
So we'll call it downstairs for a reference.
All right.
When they first get there and they're, you know, getting acquainted to what's going on down there, we get a Danny Elfman song. Danny Elfman comes and sings a little jazzy tune.
So I wasn't feeling this movie. You've got that by now. That song starts, and I looked over at Keegan and went, this music is not time appropriate.
Not quite.
He's just,
it's a dead man's party. Who could laugh? Oh, yeah.
Or.
Oingo Boingo.
No, I got that. But I was going to say, yeah. Or maybe Tim Burton trying to say that jazz has always been the music of the, you know, of downstairs of the dead. And, it's music that Tim Burton uses throughout his film career. So he has some kind of attachment to it, you know.
Oh, for sure.
But no, yeah, it was not time appropriate. I'll give you that one.
It was a good song, though.
Yeah, I thought it was a good song and a good. It's always good hearing Danny Elfman do his thing.
The animation for that also was probably the most interesting animation of the whole movie.
Why do you think that?
Just the whole thing with all the skeletons kind of dancing around and then like trading heads.
Yeah, that was fun.
That part was kind of cool where they're switching heads back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Also in the land of the dead or downstairs, whatever we're calling it. Did you notice there was like a little kid skeleton, but he looked like he was dressed like Donald Duck.
Yeah, there's a little boy and a little girl. He's in a little sailor outfit.
Yeah, it looks like Donald Duck. And by the way, of course, this is not a Disney film, unlike Nightmare. But all right, let's.
But his sailor outfit is time appropriate.
Okay, good.
We'll call the land with the dead. We'll call it Chico. Chico's California.
The land of the dead.
Have you ever been there? You ever seen how many deadheads there are there?
Oh no! Yeah,
that's like Grateful Dead paradise out there. It's that the land of the dead
went way over my head. All right, so let's get on with the plot.
Jerry Garcia reference on the this time. Okay, sorry.
Waiting to reunite with Victoria, Victor tricks Emily. Oh my goodness! Why? Why can't I read tonight? Wanting to reunite with Victoria, Victor tricks Emily into taking him back to the land of the living by pretending he wants her to meet his parents. She agrees to this and takes him to see Elder... Oh, man. Gutnick? Gutnick?
I'll go with Gutnick.
Okay. The kindly ruler of the underworld. Ooh, there we go. Underworld. Victor and Emily temporarily to the land of the living. Once back home, Victor asks Emily to wait in the forest while he rushes off to see Victoria and confess his wish to marry her as soon as possible, to which she gladly returns his feelings. Just as they are about to share a kiss, Emily arrives, sees the two of them together. Feeling betrayed and hurt, she angrily drags Victor back to the land of the dead. Victoria tells her parents that Victor has been forcefully wed to a dead woman, and no one believes her. I wonder why. With Victor gone, Victoria's parents decide to marry her off against her will to a presumed wealthy newcomer in town named Lord Barkis Bitterin, who appeared at the wedding rehearsal.
You just shut up. Yeah, wasn't what was the name of the main villain from Shrek?
Farquaad.
Farquaad. This guy reminds me of Lord Farquaad.
Oh, very much. Yeah.
I think it was like that guy was actually modeled after Michael Eisner from everything I've read.
Lord Farquaad. Yeah. That was admitted to. Yeah.
And if you ever caught the joke about Lord Farquaad's name, say his name three times fast, and you'll get why he's named that way.
All right.
Anyway.
You don't know what I'm talking about with Farquaad?
No,
think about what it sounds like. It's not a creepy kingdom friendly word.
No, I got that. That's why we're not. That's why we're moving on.
Okay.
We paused for everyone to do it at home, and now we're moving on. Okay. So.
As much as I don't like the whole arranged marriage thing, and I don't like the whole like they fall in love first thing, I also really didn't like that Emily. Like, just insists that Victor is married to her, whether he likes it or not. And even when he's like, that was a mistake. I was practicing my vows to this other girl. She's basically like, I don't give a crap. You're going to be with me now for the rest of eternity. And that's just how it's going to be. That's just mean. Like, that's just rude.
Well, I mean, she's, you know, we've all felt that way.
No. No, I have literally
we've all been there.
Be against their will. Yeah. There's a word for that.
No, all right, you're getting a little extreme there. I'm saying we all felt like, you know, we've been wronged and that we, you know, deserve something, and are kind of turned into a jerk. You never felt that way ever in your life.
I have never felt like abducting someone and making them stay with me.
All right, that's very literal. Will. All right, that's very literal. That's not what I said. But
but I'm just saying that's what she did. Like,
she did not abduct him. He put the ring on her finger.
He put a ring on a branch. Binding.
What did you say?
Put a ring on a branch. He thought it was a branch. I'm just saying. And she did. She totally abducted him and took him down to the land of the dead. And it was like, you can't leave.
Yeah, but he also leads her on in quite a few spots as well.
Well, you know, he's an ass.
So he is not like a hero that you're rooting for. He's just like this guy who has two women. Both are way better for him than he deserves. Or than they deserve.
Well, what is
like,
he? Well, yeah. What is Victor bringing to the table in either of these relationships?
He can play the piano. Money.
Yeah, you know, he was very good at playing the piano. I'll give him that. He had money. And, that's what it was.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's why he was marrying Emily, because he had money.
I mean, he might be considered attractive at the time, but like, if you look at what his parents look like, they're definitely not good looking people.
Right.
So he is not going to age well.
Well, in that case, either is poor Victoria.
No.
But, actually, another interesting thing about Victor and Victoria, besides the obvious of their names, are the same.
Yeah.
They pretty much like look like brother and sister.
Yeah.
There is that.
They look like
maybe they were.
Maybe they were. Wow, Tim Burton's throwing a lot of themes around. A lot of heavy themes in this kid's movie.
Well, because if you look at it, all the parents of them looked related as well.
Maybe they were.
They all look like
it's all that tiny little town inbreeding.
Yeah, the tiny little thing. It's like, yeah, you're going to... Wow.
That's the other thing I wondered about the underworld. So, like, is that the underworld for everywhere or just for that town?
It had to be that town because they all knew each other, right? And like,
right?
Because in the end, there's some reuniting going on.
So basically, when you die, you just go to the underworld, like right under where you lived.
Yes,
like, that's interesting.
That kind of like, I guess, sort of that whole concept that would kind of stink. You're like, God, I wanted to do everything to get out of this town.
Right?
Here I am.
What if you grew up in the ghetto or whatnot, and you're like, great, now I'm stuck here forever. Awesome.
Well, that'd be a sweet place to hang out in the afterworld, you know, because you don't have to worry about anything. But let's die in Disneyland. I wonder what the underworld under Disneyland is like. That's where I don't know.
Walt's frozen head is.
Walt's frozen head. Okay, here we go.
Yeah. Is it that, like, you go to the underworld where you die, or you go to the underworld where you lived? I have questions, guys.
Well, I also kind of feel like the people in this town didn't really go anywhere, right? So
that is the point.
I also kind of felt like there's no other world other than this town in this movie. Like, in this universe, all that exists is that town. They don't talk about anywhere further away or anything like that. So maybe in this universe, the town is the whole world.
Maybe. Although, if that's the case, like, how come nobody knew that Lord Barkus was the, like, had a past with him? Well, nobody knew who he was. He walks in, and dude is like, is he from your side of the family? And she's like, I don't know. And then they're like, hey, marry our daughter.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. The first time they meet him, they're like, we don't know if he's in our family or not. And then as soon as Victor has been seen with a corpse, she's like, all right, well, you can marry our daughter now.
We don't know you. We don't know who you are or how you got here or if you're related to us or not. But marry our daughter, okay? Okay, cool.
Yeah, he was basically Gaston if Gaston was a villain.
We're not bringing this up here. All right, let's continue on with the plot.
Listen to any past episode of Creepy Kingdom and you'll hear it.
Let's see here. Victor apologizes to Emily for lying to her, and the two reconcile. Shortly after, Victor's recently deceased family coachman appears in the afterlife and informs Victor of Victoria's impending marriage to Barkus. He also overhears that in order to validate Victor and Emily's marriage, Victor must repeat his vows in the land of the living and willingly drink the wine of ages, a poison, thus joining her in death. Fretting about having lost Victoria to another man, Victor agrees to die for Emily. all of the dead go upstairs to the land of the living to perform the wedding ceremony for Victor and Emily. Upon their arrival, the town erupts into a temporary panic until everyone recognizes their loved ones from the dead and they have a joyous reunion. We are literally less than 24 hours from the beginning of this movie. This poor dude who has absolutely nothing to offer has been, like, yelled at by his parents, yelled at by her parents, yelled at by the priest.
Yeah, that priest. We didn't even talk about the priest yet.
Priest said, sure.
Oh, personally.
Okay. So yelled at by the priest, went out to the woods, got abducted, taken to the underworld, told that he was married, even though he didn't want to marry her, and now has been like, oh, well, this other chick that I don't know either is getting married to somebody else, so yeah, I'll die for you, whatever.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering why he was so nobly willing to die at this point in the movie.
I feel like Victor's going to end up being like one of those guys that's like sitting on the couch in his boxers with like a beer in his hand. You know, he doesn't really care who he married as long as it's somebody there to take care of him.
He has no identity of his own. His identity is like, I'm going to be married and I don't care who it is. And okay, yeah, cool. You can play the piano too. I will marry you. Or, okay, well, she's marrying somebody else. Okay, cool. I will go and commit suicide to be with you. It's just, it's like, I'm going to flat out say it. This is not a good movie. This is just.
Well, what's interesting is, you know, as you guys are saying all these things that are not good about the movie, I still like watching it.
there are parts, yeah, of course. The visuals are good.
I still enjoy watching it. That's what, you know,
I like a lot of movies that aren't good movies. Like, I still enjoy watching many movies that people would not consider good movies. So that makes perfect sense to me. Like,
The Room.
Well, that's what I'm saying. This isn't like it's so bad, it's good kind of movie. I'm just saying that I just genuinely enjoyed watching it again. I have not watched it since it came out. So I haven't had that, like, desire to, I guess. But I was just like, you know, there's things about this film that I like. And I think I'm entertained.
I think it's really interesting that all three of us have not watched this movie since it came out.
It's probably most people's stance, because as we get to the end, I have a final thought about the legacy of Corpse Bride.
The legacy?
There is a little bit of a legacy. So, but yeah, just the bringing up the Victor's willingness to die was kind of jarring to me, you know, because I'm sitting there thinking like, what, like, that was not earned. I had that thought. I was, you know, like, you're like, you, all you've been trying to do is get away from this woman and get back to, you know, upstairs. And then you're like, oh, she's marrying someone else? Okay.
Right, like, if she's marrying someone else, you literally could have just gone back to your life how it was yesterday.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
Like, you don't have to kill yourself. It's cool.
That's why I keep saying. It's like he keeps dragging her feelings through the mud. It's like, oh, yeah, sure, I will die for you. And then it's like, oh, well, you know what? Nope, I'm going to marry the other woman instead. It's like, he's just ping-ponging back and forth to the point where everybody's feelings are getting hurt. Like, I found this movie visually interesting, but story-wise, very much lacking. But I think that's kind of like the general consensus.
Yeah, I would agree.
Like, it's a fun watch, but the plot was like, I was screaming at it going, why are you doing this? You are you moron. You are a moron, and you are hurting the poor corpse's feelings.
That's truer words than there have been said.
Right. You are a moron. You are hurt by that girl's feelings.
All right, let's continue on to the exciting conclusion of Tim Burton's The Corpse Bride.
After a quarrel with Barkus and realizing he was only after her supposed wealth, Victoria follows the procession of death to the church. Emily notices Victoria and realizes that she is denying Victoria her chance at happiness the same way it was stolen from her. She stops Victor from drinking the poison and reunites him with Victoria. Barkus interrupts them, and Emily recognizes him as her former fiancé, who was revealed to be the one who murdered her for her dowry. Oh, who didn't see that coming? Barkus tries to kidnap Victoria at sword point, but Victor stops him, and the two men duel. The dead townspeople are unable to interfere with the affairs of the living. Emily intercedes to save Victor, and Barkus mockingly proposes a toast to Emily, unknowingly drinking the cup of poison. The dead, able to intercede upon Barkus's death, eagerly take retribution against him by dragging him to the underworld where he will atone for his crimes. Victoria, now a widow, is once again able to marry Victor.
Is that the end?
Yeah.
What's going on over there?
Say something. Oh, do you want me to finish it?
Oh, yeah,
we've been stopped for paragraphs.
The last paragraph so small.
Okay. Emily frees Victor of his vow to marry her. Oh, nice word. Giving the wedding ring back to Victor and the wedding bouquet to Victoria before exiting the church. As she steps into the moonlight, she transforms into hundreds of butterflies as Victor and Victoria look on, wrapped in each other's embrace.
And credits.
And yeah, they're like, yeah, they're definitely end credits. The credits really slapped you in the face for this one.
Right? Like, oh. I didn't get the whole butterfly thing. Like,
well, the butterfly thing was Victor saw it was foreshadowing. He saw a butterfly at the beginning of the movie.
Okay, yeah, but so is everybody in the underworld then? Is it just they all have unfinished business, and then when they figure it out, they'll turn into butterflies too? Like,
if we really want to suck about the dig deep into the continuity of the underworld. All of them were skeletons except for her. She had decaying flesh. And so did the coachman that just died.
Mm-hmm.
He was blue as well. Everyone else was skeletons.
There were a couple others, like the cook, the chick that was the cook who made wedding cake. She had a little more oomph to her.
Yeah, like... I was wondering how come he didn't know who the bride would have been, because like if she was recently murdered,
everybody
knew each other. How right. did they?
That is something they would remember.
Right. That's what I'm thinking. Because if they still have flesh that's not decayed away, they must have been recent. They must have recently died, right?
Yeah.
So like
you would have heard this story. You would have been like, oh, I knew I.
Especially with that tabloid yelling paper boy outside yelling everybody's business.
Yeah, with that jerk walking around, you know you heard about it.
Oh, also I can't take away your happiness like it was taken away from me. What happiness? You're marrying a stranger. Odds are this is not going to go well for you, girlfriend.
Right? That and, like... I get it. Like, you know, more power to you. You looked at the girl, you realized that you were taking her man, and you had a moment, and you're like, you know what? This is wrong. I'm not going to wrong you. But, I mean, having it be like, oh, like hers was stolen away. Nah, she was murdered. There is a big difference. Like, also, you know, remember the song that the spider and the little dude, the little maggot dude sing?
No.
Oh yeah, I do like the worm guy. He was fun.
I hate the worm guy. But like the whole song is them just tearing Victoria down to make Emily feel better about herself.
Oh, in the beginning of the movie, you mean?
Yeah, the song that the spider and the maggot thingy.
Yeah, you're just jealous. Because after she gets back. Yeah. No, it's not.
Yeah, the whole thing is them just tearing this poor girl down. They don't know her. Like,
yeah, it's kind of mean-spirited for no reason, and there's no really clear, like, person in the right here, right?
No. Mind-blown idea right here. Okay, so we now know that Victor gets married to, what's her name, the living girl?
Victoria.
Victoria's the living one, yeah, okay. So Victor gets to marry Victoria. What if, because of that, what if they were Ashton Kutcher's great-great-grandparents the butterfly effect right there. He turns into butterflies.
I was waiting for you.
He turns into butterflies, and like this is quite literally the butterfly effect.
Yeah.
It's like 1:45 in the morning.
I was going to say, Grant, what time is it where you live? Because...
1:45 in the morning. I'm coming off a 12-hour day at work. But this is where my mind is that this is tied into the butterfly effect universe, clearly.
Clearly.
She is the butterfly.
Wow. Well, that's one theory.
That is a whole other podcast.
Oh, God.
So, in conclusion, as I said, talking about the legacy of Cornspread, I found when this film came out that there was a lot of anticipation for it, and no one was really wowed by it. They didn't really know what to make of it. You know, it was like...
They weren't sure if they're supposed to like necrophilia or not.
There's that. It's also, I think my original takeaway when I first saw it was like, it's like there's things I liked about it, but it didn't really seem to have any heart to it.
It's got no depth. You literally, that's what it is. You do not care about these people at all in any way.
No.
It also just really abruptly ends. That was like, there was no decompression. It just kind of like, butterflies end over. And it's, I kind of felt like there should have been more to this, at least a little bit of some sort of like little aftermath scene as like to life them, will be okay, or
yeah,
like them getting married, or even like fast forward to the future and they've got like kids or something, like
yeah, just
and they named one after her or something like that.
A nice little slow fade out, maybe. I would have taken that over just like credits.
We are done. End movie.
I really like that idea. It is now my official headcanon that they had a little girl and they named her Emily.
And what did
I'm really digging that idea.
And Emily comes to visit in the form of a butterfly.
Every time they're outside in their yard and they see a butterfly, they look at each other and go,
the girl that
she was so sweet when she decided not to keep you in the land of the dead. It was so nice of her not to abduct you again.
But because it feels like it tried to hit every single note of like Nightmare Before Christmas with the songs, the look of the townspeople, even the little creepy part where like the dead start coming back. It's kind of similar to the like the toys, the creepy toys that Jack made, just kind of the invasion of things that are wrong.
Right.
Oh yeah.
Like, in a place that's right. The blue face main girl and the dead dog, it felt like they were trying to do too much of, let's try to make this as much like Nightmare Before Christmas, but I feel like they could have tried to do a little bit more of their own thing. Like, they didn't really know what they were doing with this.
Yeah, it's like I said, it was a lot of anticipation following Nightmare. But if you really, and as we get to Nightmare, we'll discuss it. Nightmare has a ton of weird plot holes and flaws,
yeah,
oh, yeah.
As well. But nobody really seems to care, right?
I do think it's weird though. And okay, we're gonna get to this, but I can't believe I'm gonna say this on the air. I am not a huge Nightmare Before Christmas fan. I'm not against it in any way. I will watch it if it's on, but it is not something that I go out of my way to watch. However, when I watched it, not when it first came out, because I don't even remember it then, but like the first time after that, I do remember caring what happened to Jack. Like, I do remember thinking, you know, I wanted to know what was going to happen to Jack. Mm-hmm. But in this movie, I do not care about any of these people.
No. Oh, listen, there's no clear antagonist in this, right? I mean, maybe protagonist, sorry. There's everyone's antagonist.
Right? Everyone's a jerk. a town full of jerks. I hope they moved.
Once you're a butterfly, what does that do for you? Like, are you going into heaven? Are you going into the upstairs of the upstairs?
But I think that would be the attic.
The attic. Like, it's super confusing. And, like, yeah, I agree with you. Does everybody have unfinished business down below?
Yeah, no, I think that's explained in the sequel, Butterflies in the Attic.
Wow. Yeah.
you guys. There's no prequels or sequels to Corpse Bride. This is a one and done.
Yeah, no, Butterflies, and it was written by V.C. Andrews, right?
Maybe.
No. No, you guys, no Flowers in the Attic, really? Guys, I'm talking to men. Never mind. You guys probably didn't read those books.
Did they make that into a made-for-TV movie?
Yes.
I think I saw that. I definitely didn't read the books. What's interesting about what's happening to Corpse Bride now is that it wasn't really that well received when it came out. People just seemed to like it because they thought they should. But as time is now, we're about, you know, did you say 17 years ago that movie came out?
Mm-hmm.
Is it really that long? No.
13.
Yeah, we're really bad at math.
No, 15 years. Not mathing at all right now.
We are podcasters, not mathematicians. I already said this.
I'm seeing a resurgence of people being stoked about Corpse Bride, like, right now.
I wonder if it's that people are, like, stoked about the movie or if it's just, like, the aesthetic.
It's got to be the aesthetic.
I'm going to go more along the lines of, like, for me and my generation with, like, movies like Neverending Story, where they weren't giant hits at the time, but yet we watched them all the time as kids. So maybe the
nostalgia.
Maybe the kids who watched it all the time when they were younger to the Corpse Bride, now they're adults and have their kids of their own, and now they're showing it. But like for people who are our age, or at least, you know, closer to James, obviously, you know that Roxy is 17.
Right.
It's just that generational thing. Like they grew up with it, so now they watched it all the time. Versus us, who I would have been 19 or 20 at the time I watched it and didn't think anything of it afterward. Versus if you were like 7 or 8, you know, you may have watched it a lot more because kids tend to watch movies
over and over.
So 6 of you, kind of like Neverending Story and Gremlins and Temple of Doom, I watched those all the time. So those movies hold a more special place in my heart than if I showed it to somebody for the first time. Now they go, okay, well, that was fun. You know, next.
Also, the people that watched it for the first time when they were kids, you know, like me, because I was very young. I was like 2. But the people that watched it for the first time when they were kids are now adults. So it does have that kind of like nostalgia.
Yeah,
you know, thing like Neverending Story and whatnot.
Well, this is kind of what happened with Nightmare Before Christmas. Like I said, it wasn't very popular when it came out, and then it just kind of grew this cult following, you know, 10 years after the movie came out. And I'm wondering if this is going to happen with Corpse Bride. You know, probably not, but... There's no, you know, Corpse Bride overlay coming?
No, there's not.
The Haunted Mansion.
I'm trying to think of another attraction. There could be a Corpse Bride overlay besides Haunted Mansion.
Let's go with the Epcot Mexican Riverboat Ride, City of the Dead.
Definitely.
There we go. If that becomes Coco, they could do, like, if it becomes a Coco boat ride, it can, then take over the Coco Boat Ride during Halloween and become Corpse Bride.
Well, I forgot. This is a Warner Brothers film, not a Disney film. So we have to just go to Universal overlay because Universal does stuff with Warner Brothers. So
I mean, I suppose they could do like an overlay in Diagon Alley.
Of Corpse Bride?
At least the time periods would kind of...
What are you talking like about? Diagon Alley is happening now.
but it does have that like oldie architecture.
Oh, the architecture. Oh, yeah. I think about the time, the actual time.
No. I mean, like, just in visual.
Okay. Yeah. That would kill, I guess. I don't know.
I don't think anybody is asking
for the competition.
Yeah, probably not. But, all right.
The Corpse Ride.
The Corpse Ride? Get rid of the B? Corpse Bride the Ride. Because everything on Universal is called the Ride afterwards.
Goodness. Oh, my God. No, it could be, like, you could be in, like, a gyro sphere, like a gyro ball. Think of, like, Jurassic World. That thing that they're in?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's
you can be in a giant pinball, and you can be pinballing between the two lovers back and forth as well.
Wow. Oh, Grant, honey.
Yes.
I think it's time for you to go to bed. I think it might be that time.
I mean, you have some great ideas, but let's just, let's end this blue sky session. All right. Well, I guess the conclusion here is that story's not that good, but some of us liked looking at it. And I think this is the last time ever that Roxy's ever going to watch it.
Amen.
So out of 1 to 10, what would you give it, James?
1 out of 10?
Yeah.
I usually rate films on the classic 5 scale, 5 stars.
Okay, so 1 to 5 then. There you go. You can double it if we're going to go 1 to 10.
I'll give it a 3. 3 out of 5 stars.
Roxy?
I'm giving this a solid 1. I didn't like it, and I don't want to watch it again.
And I'm going to go 2.5.
Well, not a crowd favorite around here. I was like, we know people that love this movie, so I would have.
Yes, we do. Shout out to our girl Nikki.
I'm interested to bring her on the show to talk. But if you love the movie and you're like, what are you guys talking about? This is the greatest film of all time. Definitely let us know.
Yeah, prove us wrong. Like I would love to hear someone's opinion who just absolutely adores this movie and like why.
Oh, I meant to mention Johnny Depp's voice acting. Man, that was boring. Like I felt like his voice, like he was just very Like none of the voice acting was particularly like captivating.
Well, the characters had no personalities. So
that was direction.
What are you gonna do? Like
that was Tim Burton's vision. So yeah, but we're just getting started with the year of Burton here. This is only our second film. And I'm gonna tease a little bit of an announcement.
Ooh.
It's not a full on announcement. It's a tease.
Okay.
And unfortunately, Grant and others that don't live in Southern California, this might not mean that much to you. But it's another reason to visit Southern California. Besides Disneyland.
James, what's the announcement?
All the fun is that very soon, we here at Creepy Kingdom are going to be having screenings of the Tim Burton films that we'll be reviewing throughout the year.
Ooh!
I can't say any more yet, but so we can all come together and watch. If you live in SoCal or visiting while we're doing it, we can all come together and watch these films together.
Hey,
at Roxy's house.
That's right.
Not at Roxy's house.
Right. At my house. You're all invited.
Every stranger, come on in.
Yeah, and if you're listening to this, you're invited. Come on over. Keegan will love it.
He'll love it.
All right. But no, that's going to be a lot of fun. So if you're in SoCal, if you're visiting SoCal and you love Tim Burton and you listen to us, then hopefully you'll get to come to one of these screenings and actually get to sit down and talk with us about it instead of just listening to us talk about it.
Right.
I'm excited.
It should be cool. And, that's all I'm going to say. We said enough.
Okay.
But yeah. It's not going to be for Dumbo. I'll say that. So no. We're not going to be screening Dumbo. But after Dumbo, the next film is Sweeney Todd.
Woo!
So that should be fun. See?
That one I'm excited about. I've seen that one dozens of times.
I definitely think that this is probably the roughest one of the bunch. If I looking at the list, I legit feel like looking at it that this is probably the black sheep.
Are you looking? Do you have the list in front of you right now?
No, just knowing what he did. I mean, I think that this was even a little bit better than the Planet of the Apes. Are we talking about Planet of the Apes?
No, we're not.
No, okay.
I don't know. I just thought that this would be a good film for Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
And I didn't think, I've been seeing a lot of Emily's pop up in cosplay at cons and stuff, and that's why I'm saying I'm seeing Corpse Bride come back. But like you said, maybe they were just kids and they loved it then, so they're like, yeah. Oh, I'm gonna dress up like that character I loved in the movie I saw when I was a kid.
I'm sure she's popular tattoo form. There's probably a lot of Emily tattoos.
Oh yeah,
I really haven't seen any. But I haven't been looking. I don't go on. Hey, you got any Emily tattoos? Corpse Bride, huh? Anyways, that's
kind of that worm guy. Get him.
Get that worm guy. You got
the
that
worm guy.
All right. Well, yeah, a lot more fun Tim Burton stuff is coming your way. So. Yeah, I've said we got Dumbo coming up next month, so they'll be very interested to see how that film turns out.
Yep.
All right. Well, we're out of here.
Good night.
Good night.
All righty. The year of Burton wages on. Like I told you at the top of the show, we've got Dumbo episode coming towards the end of the month, right before the film's release. And next month in April is Mars Attacks. And we're kicking off our monthly screening series in South Pasadena, California. A lot of fun Year of Burton stuff going on. If you want to contact us here, though, at this show or any Creepy Kingdom show, just email us at creepykingdom@gmail.com. And for show notes, links to all our social media, videos, articles, to check out our store with the Creepy Kingdom apparel of dresses and leggings, everything Creepy Kingdom is waiting for you at creepykingdom.com. And lastly, if you want to check out our brand new Patreon-exclusive show, Live from the Dungeon, you want to watch our Haunted Mansion fan documentary, Foolish Mortals, the one place you can do those things is patreon.com/creepykingdom. All right, until next time, let's close the crypt.